Great to be able to be reminded, of course, of this wonderful day in which we take some time to remember our Saviour's birth. And, of course, we don't actually know when the Saviour was born. People say, well, you know, Christmas wasn't on the 25th, like Jesus wasn't born on the 25th. It might have been. We don't know. But, you know, it's okay to take a day out of the year, and I think we should at least take one day out of the year. We should always celebrate our Saviour's entrance. You know, I was thinking about it before, because some people often say, well, you know, I understand that, you know, that Christmas in the Bible, in a sense, it's not a celebrated holiday, it's not a marked holiday, but, you know, the angels celebrated, and Mary rejoiced, and the wise men rejoiced, and the shepherds rejoiced, and so I think we can celebrate as well. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So it's good to be able to do that today and to take a bit of time. And so we're going to do that by looking at a passage that we've already looked at. You know, the last few weeks we spent a bit of a time going through a bit of series called God With Us, Emmanuel, and looking at, you know, that wonderful thing. And I finished that series up last week, but I just thought today I want to revisit one short passage here. And in it, we'll see that there really is today good news of great joy. And that's what is pronounced here. And we want to understand really today what that means. And I hope that we all know what that means. But just to consider it and to really know that, you know, that good news of great joy is yours if you've trusted in Jesus Christ. And it's a good news of great joy that we are to proclaim to the world. And let's have a look at this passage this morning, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. I've kind of picked it up pretty much in the middle of the passage. We could have read all of that passage in Luke. We did the other week, but I thought let's just focus on the key verses that I want to look at this morning. And it is a story that, I say story, account. I often don't like to call it the Christmas story because people then think it's some sort of myth. It's reality. These are real events. These are things that actually happened. But in the Christmas account here, in this account of the Saviour's entrance into the world, we read about the angels appearing to the shepherds. So we're going to pick it up in verse 8. It really begins at verse 1 of chapter 2, but we'll read verse 8 through to verse 14. I encourage you to either look on the screen or read on in your Bibles, and let's be reminded of this event and what took place. And really, this morning, be reminded of this good news of great joy. So, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Well, let's pray as we consider those few verses this morning. Lord, we're so thankful again that we can gather as your people, as your church together, Lord, to remember this wondrous event, this entrance of Jesus Christ into this world and of his taking on human flesh, taking on humanity. And Lord, we're so thankful that because of that and because of what he ultimately accomplished on the cross for us as well, Lord, that we do indeed have good news that brings great joy. And we pray today that as we spend a few moments to look at that, that, Lord, this would be really the foundation, the truth that reminds us of really why we celebrate today. And Lord, I know as each of us will go our way, whether it's just for a quiet lunch or a more celebratory one with family and friends and things, Lord, I pray that this truth, this good news of great joy would just be ever in the forefront of our minds. And Lord, we'd be, again, not only reminded of it, but willing to share it with others as well. So I pray, Lord, you'd help us to know and to be reminded and assured of the joy that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I got no slides this morning, so we normally have some slides, but I just thought I'd just share a few things this morning. Now, we know this passage fairly well, and again, a few weeks ago, we went through the account in greater detail. But I just wanted to focus on these few statements that the angels made this morning, because really, at the heart of this is the good news of great joy. And the reality is that the whole world today, you know, when I say the whole world today, many people around the world, I know there's people that don't celebrate Christmas, but as many people gather together today, they are gathering with a desire to have a happy Christmas. You know, we say this to people, Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas, and they're all looking for that little slice of happiness, that little slice of joy, you could say, that would come out of today. Now, I know Christmas is not always joyful for some people. Sometimes it's a sad reminder of those that are not with us or other problems and things in life. But the reality is that people do clamour for the happiness and the joy that this text is speaking about, whether it's at Christmas or any other time. And sadly, I think a lot of the Christmas traditions and superstitions, and it's okay to have some, you know, things that we do at Christmas, but I think a lot of those really corrupt the real joy that we know is only found in Jesus Christ. You know, the world is looking for happiness, and they're hoping for happiness, and they're hoping today there will be a good day. They hope that maybe when they get together as family, there won't be any family fights or arguments. They hope that the food isn't burnt, it's not cold, whatever it needs to be, and that everything's going to just kind of go just how they want, that they'll have a really nice day. But, you know, that day's going to be over tomorrow. And, of course, after that, there's, you know, some back to work, people go to the shop, some people go back to take the gifts that they didn't like, to get them changed, all those sorts of things that happen. And really, the reality is that joy that they are really looking for is very fleeting. It doesn't last. It's not permanent. And those, like I said, those Christmas traditions, I'm not trying to be a sort of bar humbug, but I think the thing we realise is that we need to remember what this occasion is really about. That was something we put in our gospel tract really recently, was to remind people. And, you know, a lot of people love to celebrate the idea of Christmas, the feeling of Christmas, you know, or the spirit of Christmas, but they don't want to rejoice in and understand who the Christ of Christmas is. And that's what this good news is about today. You know, some people find that joy that comes in Christ alone, and some don't, sadly. You know, God's desire is that every person would know that good news of great joy and they would believe on it. But, you know, today what we want to look at just in these few moments that we have together is about that joy, about the good news, and that how we really have in this reality of Jesus Christ and the gospel and his entrance into the world, we have something that the world at large doesn't have, but the world at large wants, that they're seeking. And so let's look at this today, and just particularly I want us to focus on the beginning, verse 10 and verse 11, and then we'll look at verse 14. So first thing we notice here is that, of course, dropping into this where we were is the angels' account, the angels appeared to these shepherds. So remember, we notice that here it is, they're outside Bethlehem. You know, Joseph and Mary are in Bethlehem. Jesus is about to be born, or he's just been born. These shepherds are out on the hills, and comes to them, this one angel, and it says the glory of God shone around him, and then a whole multitude that sing in that chorus and celebrate. Now, the first thing we notice here is that there's a reassurance. It says in verse 10 here that the angel said unto them, fear not. The thing that we are reminded of firstly here is that, you know, if an angel appeared to you, what would be your first emotion? Now, when we see angels appear to anyone in the Bible, what's their first emotion? Fear. They're afraid. Now, partly that would have to do with the appearance of the angel. You know, obviously it says the glory of the Lord shone around them, and certainly angels can be quite foreboding when you look at them. But I think what we understand here is an angel, and the word angel actually means messenger. Angels are messengers, messengers from heaven, messengers from God, right? And this angel is bringing a message from God. And that in itself strikes fear into people. Because the reality is, you know, people say, oh, you know, God, why don't you speak to me? And why? But if an angel actually appeared to them, they would be frightened. They would be afraid. Why? Because, you know, when you come face to face with heaven, with God, with a messenger from God, the first thing that it causes mankind to do is examine their own heart. Because the first thing you see when you see this angel and understand the power and the might and the glory of the angel, and really when it comes to coming near to God, because this is a messenger from God, most people probably wouldn't want that, because they really don't want a face-to-face meeting with anyone from heaven. Because, you know, what we find is that it frightens them, because I think most people would say they don't know where they stand. They don't know where they stand with God. And so this is the fear that comes before them. You know, when confronted with a holy and righteous and perfect God, mankind goes, well, I don't know where I stand. Am I accepted? Am I not? You know? And the reality is, as we're told in Hebrews 10:31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And so one of the things that we find is when you're confronted with the holiness that comes from heaven, from the angels that, you know, are angels from God, we find it makes us realize our own sinfulness. And that, when you're confronted with that, causes great fear. And every time you see, you know, when an angel confronts, you know, the first thing they have to say to the person that they're speaking to is, fear not. And the reason they say fear not is because really there is every reason to fear. There is every reason to fear, because you and I are sinful. We're sinners in the sight of a holy God. And when a messenger from God brings that, that angel could bring a message of good news, or that angel could be an angel to bring judgment, you know, destruction. God used angels in the Old Testament, you know, to bring destruction on different people and different cities and nations and things like that. And he will do that in the future as well. And so it is very, I guess, you know, confronting and also very frightful. But the wonderful thing that we see here is that God uses with this angel, the first thing he says is, fear not, be reassured. And he doesn't say that because it's okay, you're not so bad. The reality is we are so bad. You know, in fact, we don't even realize how bad we are. You know, the scriptures tell us that all our righteousnesses, all our attempts to try and make a way to God are as filthy rags. We're all as an unclean thing, it tells us. And, you know, a lot of people today go, well, I'm not as bad as that person. But, you know, in the sight of God, we're all sinners. We're all deserving judgment. And, you know, God comes and says to us, fear not, not because we're good, but because he's good. And that's the thing for us to remember. You know, he is good. He is a good and a gracious and a holy and a just God. And God is, even when mankind is in his sin, and all of us have sinned, we're told, and all of us deserve the judgment of God, God has made a way of salvation. We've looked at that in recent weeks. The seed of the woman, the promise, the one who would crush the serpent's head, the one that would make the way for us to be reconciled to God. And God's actually saying that in this message, he's saying, don't fear. Don't fear, because, as he says, I bring good tidings, good news of great joy. And that's the reassurance we have. And here's the reason. The next thing here is this good news of great joy. This good news, it says, the good tidings, it says here in the King James, that word is the same word as we have for gospel. It's evangel or evangelion. It's the idea that this is a declaration. This is good news. This is something that brings joy to people. And really what God is saying is that the good news is that there is hope. There's hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. That's the message that he's sending that brings good joy, that brings great joy. And this is really the joy that we need. This is the joy that people don't understand that they need, but the true permanent joy that they're seeking can only come through this good news. Now, you know, today people seek their joy through all sorts of what I call temporary experiences. I guess you'd say people today, they don't tend to use the word joy so much, they tend to use the word happiness. And I always think of happiness as based on what happens to you. Right? It's based on your circumstances. Now, you can be very happy today because you're going to get a nice meal, you might get some nice gifts, and, you know, there'll be other things. You'll have time with family, or you just might have a quiet time alone. And you can be very happy about that. But that's very outwardly focused. It's on the circumstances. And some people say, well, I can just have happiness because I'm at peace within myself. Well, the reality is, is that those things don't bring true happiness. They don't bring true joy. The good news of great joy comes through the fact that no amount of possessions, gifts, money, pleasure, delicious food, any of those things can bring the joy that this can bring. There's a way to be right with God. That's this good news. And to have peace with him. And God says, I want you to be assured of that. There is a way of salvation. You know, people don't really understand that. I think, particularly when it comes to Christmas, and we're probably all guilty of this to some degree, tend to sentimentalize it, you know. You think about Christmas more as a feeling, you know, something that an emotion. Oh, Christmas is nice, the spirit of Christmas, it's time. Or maybe, you know, you don't, Christmas is hard for you, you know, in that as well. But really, the idea that a lot of people think is let's just have good feelings and good hope. Let's just have a merry Christmas it is, and that everything, and let's just hope that everything's all right with God. God wants you to be sure. He wants you to know. He wants you to have, not just to hope that things are all right, but he wants you to know the way in which things can be all right with God. Notice here that the angel said these things. And this is the good news. The good news is spoken to us. This is the wonderful thing, is that it's spoken in words that we can hear. Isn't it great that God actually gives us words, simple words, that really even a child can understand, that gives us about the good news of great joy, the way of salvation. You know, it's not like we have to make some, as some religions do, some trek to some remote part or try to work through these levels to find our inner, you know, whatever it is, and to achieve this state of nirvana or whatever it is that they have, that somehow that would connect you with God and that would give you this peace. Well, no, this is a simple message. It's a simple message, but it's a message of truth. It's good news. And the thing that we need to understand is we have a message from heaven. This is not the fake news of the world. This is good news. This is the news that we all need to hear. And we're told here that this news is to all people. Behold, I give you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Though I think what we notice here as well is that the reassurance of the fear and the good news and the great joy is really held together. The reassurance is by the good news, and the great joy is from the good news as well. And this idea that it's to all people, of course, when Jesus Christ came and he came into this world the first time, he came as the Saviour to the Jews, but he came as the Saviour to all people. Firstly, he came, as it says here, for unto you is born this day, and really referring to the nation of Israel, right? In the city of David, a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Now, I say Israel because those words, the fact that he's born in the city of David, the fact that he's Christ, the Messiah, are things that were promised to Israel in the Old Testament. They were looking for, or they should have been looking for, their Messiah. Now we know that he came to his own, being the Jewish people, Israel, and it says in John chapter 1, but his own received him not. But Jesus then on the cross made the way for all people to come to him in salvation. And that's why it's good news for all of us. It's good news to the whole world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, the whole world, not the Jewish world, not the Gentile world, the whole world. He loved everyone that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the good news and is available to all. Now, the interesting thing here is we read about the fact that, you know, it says that he's a Saviour and he's Christ the Lord. That's the thing we need to remember. He has come as our Saviour. He hasn't come as our helper. He hasn't come as our example. Jesus does help us. Jesus is our example. He is an example. We read about that in, I think, 1st or 2nd Peter. It says that, you know, we should follow in his steps. But too many people today, and there's this sentimentality about Christmas, is that, like, well, Jesus came, and you'll hear this often on things like Carols by Candlelight. I didn't watch it last night, but I know I've watched previous years, and you'll get one of the people come and says, Jesus set the example to show us how to love. And, you know, he's just, you know, God gave us this example of Jesus, and he's almost like he's our helper, he's our example. Now, he's our Saviour. He's our Saviour because we need one. Because without him, we are lost. And that is the most important thing, that we recognise that he's our Saviour. Now, there's people that today, you know, one of the things, of course, today is people say, well, I believe what I believe. And you'll talk to people today, maybe you'll try to share some of this with people or in the coming days, and they'll just say, well, Yeah, that's fine for you. You have your truth and I have my truth. And, you know, that's, or you have your way. They may not say that. They'll say, you have your way, I have my own way. Really, you know, we're all entitled to our own way. Well, here's the thing. Jesus says there's one way. God says there's one way. Now, you might get upset at that. Well, we won't, but some people will get upset at that. And they go, I want to have the right to have my own opinion about God. You know what? God gives you that right. In fact, Bible Christianity is one of the few religions that actually gives you that right. We call it individual soul liberty. God says, you can choose to accept me or reject me. That's why God put the, you know, that's one of the reasons that God gave Adam a choice. He didn't make him robots. He didn't force him to believe in him, to trust him, to obey him. He said, you have a choice. And every person today has a choice. Now, that choice, of course, has consequences. And, you know, the idea that people say, well, you know, this is, you know, I should be able to choose my own way. Well, you can choose your own way, but is it the way? is it truly the way? The idea today is that people say that all ideas, all philosophies, they should have equal value. Well, you know, and people say, well, I don't think, you know, that Jesus is the only way. Well, honestly, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. This good news is not he's not asking you for your opinion on the matter. He's just declaring the truth. Jesus Christ is the Saviour. He is the Lord, and he is the only way of salvation. Now, whether you believe that or not, well, that's the thing. People, you know, today they quibble over all of that. But the reality is, you know, the thing that you find about Bible Christianity, and I say Bible Christianity because throughout the ages there have been groups and church groups, and there's even people today, to try to force people to become Christians. You know, I'm going to make you a Christian. You can't make someone a Christian. It's a choice that they either believe in Jesus Christ or they don't. And this is the thing that we find. True Bible Christianity is not trying to force our faith upon people. We're simply sharing that good news and inviting you. Yes, we can lead you to trust in Christ, but I can't make you a Christian. You know, I think all of us here have friends and family. If we could make them believers, we'd want to do that. But the reality is we can't, you know. And the reality is that God says each person has a choice. But here's the thing. People today try to quibble about, you know, they want to quibble about whose, you know, opinions are right. Well, the reality is God just lays it out there. This is the good news. Believe it or don't believe it, accept it or reject it. And so Jesus Christ is the Saviour. It actually says in, I think, 1st or 2nd Timothy, it says about he's the Saviour of all men. In other words, he has provided salvation for all men. But then it says after them, especially those that believe. In other words, Jesus has provided salvation for all, not just to an elect group or, you know, certain group of people. That salvation is offered to the whole world. But that salvation doesn't become applied to you, that gift of salvation doesn't apply to you until you receive it, until you believe it. That's what it means to receive it, to believe it. You know, today, some people, of course, we're going back home after this, and some people will be sharing gifts with each other. You'll have maybe gifts under the Christmas tree. And that gift, you know, if you will have a name tag, it'll have your name on it, and perhaps. And that gift can sit under the tree, and unless you actually receive that gift, it's just going to sit under the tree. It's not going to do anything. It's going to be wrapped up, and it doesn't apply to you. Now, the gift is there, but the reality is until you receive that gift, it doesn't apply. And this is the good news. This is the good news that is for all people. And really, what I just want to look at here in the last part is the realization. How do we get that joy? Well, verse 14 is a very interesting verse. It's one that's often, and I must admit, you know, I sort of never really fully understood this. I've just been reading and studying a bit recently. But, you know, it's a verse that we often see on Christmas cards and in things. And it talks about what the angels were doing. You know, the angels after this appeared and they were praising God, and they were praising God for this. They said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. Now, you'll hear a lot of people around now talking about peace, goodwill to all men. And they talk about that. You know, they say, well, as often has been said, you know, oh, we just need to give peace a chance. And, you know, at the moment we have wars going on around the world. We have a major war between Russia and the Ukraine and Europe, and it seems as though the whole world's getting brought into that. We really are it's kind of like a proxy Third World War, but we're really on the verge of that. And it's affecting, it certainly has affected the whole world. And, you know, there are people that are just saying, well, look, we just need to learn to get along. That's what they've always said about, you know, about wars. And I just read recently, you know, there's times when at Christmas has been a particularly a time when people have said, well, let's just have a truce. In 1914, you might remember there was, at the very beginning of World War One, there was a Christmas Day truce. And you, I think Nick mentioned the other week about, you know, they sang Silent Night, and the Germans and the British, and they were just, there was no fighting that day. And they both sang these songs, and they thought, well, isn't this great? And it is good, you know, that there was that peace. There was I read yesterday that were calling for a similar truce of Russia and Ukraine, and it's not happening. And you know, there was like many people saying, well, why can't we just do what we did in 1914? Well, here's the thing to understand is that peace, this sort of, the peace it's talking about here, peace on earth and goodwill towards men, it's not talking about that. It's not talking about the fact that we all just need to learn to get along. In fact, we won't learn to get along because the Bible says we're all sinful. The heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? We're all sinners. And you might have temporary peace, but you're not going to have lasting peace until you know the Prince of Peace. And really, if you're going to have peace between people, you're going to have peace between individuals, it has to begin with peace with God. And that comes through this good news, the gospel alone. You can't have peace between men, true peace, lasting peace, until you have peace with God. And then you'll have the peace of God that Jesus says passes all understanding. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he's the one that brings it. And so we notice here that this joy, this peace comes through God, and in fact it says there, glory to God in the highest. And the reality is that you will not have really this joy, you will not have this peace until you make God's glory the very first thing in your life. God, the glory of God means that you understand that God is righteous, he is holy, I am not. And I need him as my saviour. I need him to rescue me, because without Christ, we will certainly face judgment, we'll perish, and we won't have that peace that these angels are proclaiming. This peace on earth, goodwill toward men, isn't, in fact, where it says goodwill toward men, it isn't so much that God's saying, oh, I'll just kind of wink at your, you know, what you're going on, and I'll just be nice to you today on Christmas. That's not what he's talking about here. Really, the idea of being goodwill to all men is the fact that what comes is when our wills align with God's will, then we'll have that joy, then we'll have that peace, then we'll be the peace on earth. And really, for our will to align with God's will, we have to understand what God's will is. And God's will is that all should be saved, all would come to him. God's will is that you would be reconciled to him. God's will is that you should not, you know, it says God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Repentance is a change of mind that brings about a change of heart, a change of trust. And the reality is that all of us need that, and that is only through the Saviour, through Christ the Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Acts 4:12 reminds us that, you know, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so people today can argue about, oh, well, I think this way and I think that way and all this sort of stuff, but Jesus lays it out quite simply. He says, I'm the only way, I'm the best way. This is your will. God's will is that you would come to him through Jesus Christ. In John chapter 7, Jesus said, if any man will to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And he's really, what he's saying there is that if you want to know the truth, that truth is found in him. And that if you desire to know him, we're told this, that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if you want to know Jesus Christ, he's right there. You want to know God, he's made the way. And we know that. That's through here that we have salvation. The peace, the joy, the love that people are looking for comes through Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. In other words, what happened is when Jesus came into the world, he came and he was born as a Saviour, but then he still had then continued to live out a sinless life and then offered that life in our place for our sin. You know, the reality is it's not the example or the help of Christ. It's the substitutionary sacrifice that saves us. It's the fact that he willingly laid down his life. He could have lived a perfect life, shown us all how to live, come to this earth, ascended into heaven, and we all go, well, that's nice. But we can't live that righteous life. But God says, I know you can't. That's why I'm laying down my righteous life in your place. That's the gospel. The good news is that, you know, we're saved by not how sincere we are. We're not saved by our feelings. And it's like a lot of people today say, well, you know, if you're really, really sincere, well, no, we're not saved by our sincerity. We're saved by our Saviour. We're saved by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's the good news that brings great joy. And that's the good news that we are given, that the angels proclaim, that we're also given to proclaim to others as well. Now, we understand, we proclaim it to a world that right now doesn't seem like it wants to hear it. And, you know, the world is focused on every other way of trying to get joy and every other way of trying to save themselves and every other way that they can. Anything but God. You know, there's a lot of religious tolerance in the world today, they say, but they'll tolerate everything but the truth. And I say it's the truth, not because I think it's the truth, but because God said it's the truth and God is true. And so the reality is as we go out today and as we maybe spend some time with friends and family, and, you know, maybe something will come up in the conversation about, you know, maybe you've got friends and family that are believers, maybe you're going to be around unbelievers, or maybe in the coming days. The thing to remember is that again, we can't save them. You know, we're not the good news. This is the good news. The good news is the gospel. And it's so important for us that we just point people to God's word, point people to the truth, and understand it's their choice whether they believe it or not. Now, we pray for them. We want to pray for people. We want people to believe this truth. Not because it's like we want them to join our club. No, we want them to have eternal. We want them to be saved from the judgment which is to come. And God wants them to be saved as well. And so, you know, as ambassadors for Christ, yes, you know, we understand that we are to live in a way that points others to Christ, and we should do that. But it's this good news of great joy that people need. The world, you know, sadly doesn't know of anything of this joy. And often Christians, as Christians, we can be distracted from this joy. But today is a time when we can remember that, you know, God has revealed himself here. You know, there's millions of people today that are gathering, even in churches, and just in a religion that includes his name, but they don't know the Saviour, they don't know the relationship. And I pray that everyone here, and I know that you've heard these things, and I know that you know these things, and I pray that everyone here is assured of the fact that, you know, we don't need to fear. Why? Because there is good news, and that good news comes through Jesus Christ alone. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Let's remember that as we go about our way today and be reminded of that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together, and thank you for this wonderful good news, this good news that was presented here by the angels but then is ultimately, again, expanded upon in the scriptures and really in the event of your Son laying down his life in our place, Lord. And when he cried out, it is finished, we know the work was done. The way of salvation was made. And Lord, you are the Saviour, Jesus Christ. You are the Saviour. You are the only Saviour. And Lord, while the world quibbles about these things, Lord, help us to remember that we can trust what you say. We can trust the fact that it's true. And Lord, all we need do is to present that truth. Every person has a choice to believe. And we pray that our friends, our family, our loved ones, the people in this community, Lord, would recognise their sinful state. They realize that, like all of us, they're sinners before a holy God. And Lord, that without God stepping in with this good news, there is judgment for them coming. And without them accepting that gift of salvation, the judgment awaits them as well. But Lord, For I just pray that each person here has trusted in Christ and his finished work on the cross. And Lord, as we do that, we know that we have no need to fear. In fact, we have the good news, the best news, and that is a news that brings us great joy. So Lord, as today we go about our way and we maybe enjoy some food and fellowship and just friends, all those different things, maybe some gifts. Lord, we can enjoy that, but Lord, help us to remember the true joy that comes from you as the perfect gift, the ultimate gift, the sacrifice for our sins. Lord, thank you for your unspeakable gift. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.